and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture, broadcasting from Seattle, Washington. Today on the show with us, we have again Dr. Rob Sheldon, who received his PhD in physics from the University of Maryland and has worked at the University of Bern in Switzerland, Boston University, the University of Alabama in Huntsville, and currently is consulting with NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center. He's here to talk with us some more about cosmology and the origin of the universe. So, Dr. Sheldon, thanks for coming back on the show with us.
Happy to do it, Casey.
Well, in our previous discussion, we talked about the origin of the universe and the history of cosmological thought, how there was this transition from believing that the universe was infinite in its size and its age to belief in a finite universe, and some of the implications that that had for the origin of life and whether the universe is designed. And there were recently some discoveries that were made that have potentially an important influence on these questions, and I wanted to talk to you about this some more. You actually wrote a very nice article on Evolution News about the discoveries from the BICEP 2 consortium, which is being hailed as potentially a forthcoming Nobel Prize in physics. So I was wondering if you could first discuss with us this big announcement of a big discovery from the BICEP 2 consortium. What did they discover, and what are the implications for Einstein's theory of gravity from this discovery, as well as an inflating universe?
Well, the BICEP 2 is the name of a telescope at the South Pole. And they picked the South Pole for several reasons. One is that it has a clear view out of the galactic plane, and they wanted to get away from all the dust. And another reason is that the air at the South Pole is particularly dry, and they wanted to get away from any aerosols or light that would be impeded by the atmosphere of the Earth. For these reasons, they've chosen the South Pole to put up a telescope, and all through the solar southern winter, they have a team of scientists that go out in the cold and the dark and make sure that the telescope is operating sufficiently well. And after 3 years, they've collected enough information from that to analyze, and hence the big result. The thing that the BICEP 2 measures is the 3-degree black body radiation, which is in the microwave region of the spectrum. So it's just a little bit warmer than your microwave oven. But this radiation is left over from the Big Bang, when the universe was incredibly hot and bright and brilliant. And as the universe expanded from the Big Bang, this radiation cooled, and now it's way down in the microwave region. But what they're looking for is any signature in the radiation from the cosmic background radiation, CMB. They're looking for a signature that might tell them something about how the Big Bang exploded. And the reason people have spent so much time and effort on the Big Bang is that it appears to be very, very smooth. The very first results came back from the COBE satellite back in the 80s, and they found that it was so very smooth, no matter which direction in the sky they looked, they saw exactly the same thing, that they had to spend another year or two of data analysis to claim that they could see some sort of fluctuation or variation in the signal that was 5 orders of magnitude below the noise. And that's why they had to keep averaging and averaging their signal to get rid of the noise. And they think that these fluctuations might be there in the original Big Bang and cause, as the Big Bang progressed and as our universe expanded, these fluctuations caused the variation that led to formation of galaxies and stars and the night sky that we see today. So this BICEP 2 telescope is looking very hard at the polarization of that light, trying to see if they could see any change in the direction of polarization of the CMB. Now, our light from our sun, as it scatters off the blue sky above you, is polarized, and you can buy polarized sunglasses and can tell if they're polarized, because when you look through one of the lenses and rotate it by about 90 degrees, you'll see things getting dimmer and brighter if they're polarized as well. So, for example, you're driving down the road at 5 o'clock in the evening, and the sun's right in your face, and you've got your sunshade down, and the glare off of the hood of the cars in front of you is really making it hard to see. That's very polarized glare, and polarized sunglasses work very well at cutting through that glare and helping you see better. So that's what the BICEP 2 was doing, is it was looking for this polarization and trying to understand if the Big Bang gave off polarized light, well, why would it do that? And this is where it ties in to Einstein's theory of gravity. They were hoping that if there were any gravity waves in the early universe, that these waves would polarize the light just like the hood of that car in front of you when it reflects the sun to your eyes is polarizing the light. And Einstein's theory of gravity was published in 1917, and it said that the space-time was bent by matter. But just as the space-time is bent by matter, matter is directed by the curvature of space-time. That's what gravity is. So now you have a little loop, and you can have the matter being affected by the curvature, which affects the matter, which affects the curvature, and you get a propagating wave if that happens. So people were thinking, well, could Einstein's theory of gravity have hiding in it a solution that looks like waves of gravity coming out? This was proposed by a professor of mine in grad school, Joseph Weber, and he built a gravity wave antenna and claimed he'd seen them. Everyone disagreed with his findings, and poor Joe Weber never did get any credit for it, even though the gravity wave antenna went into the Smithsonian Institute of Science. But now there's a lot of money being invested into gravity waves. And if this BICEP 2 telescope has detected waves from that first Big Bang, this would be the first time someone had seen Einstein's theory of gravity being proven true for gravity waves since 1917. So 100 years have gone by, and people are really kind of antsy or excited or hoping that we can finally see gravity waves. That's one of the reasons they thought this was going to make a Nobel Prize winning discovery.
So how does this discovery impact questions about cosmic fine tuning? And for example, does it show that the universe is not finely tuned, or does it require even more fine tuning than we thought before?
Those gravity waves that I just talked about would be invisible today if there wasn't some way to make them stronger or stand out better. And this is where the fine tuning comes in. The universe looks the same. This black body radiation looks the same no matter which direction we look, whether it's up, down, left, or right. And that patch of sky that we're seeing the black body radiation coming from, the CMB, is disconnected from the other patch of sky, meaning if light was traveling at the speed of light from one corner of the sky to the other, they still would not have communicated with each other because we're looking in opposite directions. And so the question became, how is it that the universe is so very smooth when these patches of universe haven't been talking to each other? Wouldn't they have cooled off differently or run into different obstacles? Why would they look so very smooth? And the inflationary universe argument is that the universe went through a phase transition. I liken it to a pressure cooker full of spinach, that the spinach has clogged pressure relief valve, and as a consequence, the pressure cooker explodes, releasing all this high pressure water that instantly turns into steam and spreads spinach evenly over your entire ceiling. And that's what happened in this inflation model of the universe. The universe suddenly went through a phase transition and exploded, evenly distributing all the matter and the galaxies in it. And the reason they opted for this solution is otherwise you would have to say that somebody tuned the universe to make it very, very smooth from its initial conditions. So either the initial conditions are very, very precise, or something like an explosion made it look even at the end of this result. How precise did it have to be? As we talked in the previous interview, Stephen Hawking calculated one with 60 zeros after it. That's how precise this expansion had to be. And it just really bothered Stephen Hawking and many others that our universe looked so carefully tuned. So, all right, so we invoke this inflationary model in order to get rid of the precise tuning. And the BICEP 2 consortium says we see gravity waves, and the only way we could see them is if the universe also expanded. And so we have gotten two unproven theories proved at the same time. Both inflation and gravity waves are proven by our experiment. And that's why they're all excited about it.
Well, Dr. Sheldon, I think we're running out of time for this first part of the discussion about the BICEP2 consortium discovery. So we're going to have to come back for more with Dr. Rob Sheldon on ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.